Welcome to our service for the sixth Sunday of Easter. A number of you have been kind enough to say that you enjoy it when Sam and I sing together, and we try to choose hymns that we can sing together. Unfortunately, one kind of hymn we can't sing together is one in Welsh, because Sam can't do the Welsh and play at the same time. And yet we are sure that we want hymns in Welsh in the service. So today our first hymn is Evengyl Tang Nefedd, or Rhed Dros y Byd, a Deled dy Bobledd, Eith Lewch y Gyd. And you'll only hear me sing it, but you can sing along. And you have a translation, thanks to Glyn for that, on the service sheet. Evengyl Tang Nefedd. I will arise and go to my father, and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Let us confess our sins to Almighty God. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Collect for the Sixth Sunday of Easter. God, our Redeemer, you have delivered us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your Son. Grant that, as by his death he has recalled us to life, so by his continual presence in us he may raise us to eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Acts chapter 17, verses 22 to 31. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, To an unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God, perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own prophets have said, we too are his offspring. Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. Here ends the reading.
Fe ddaw'r ail ddarlleniad o Lyfr Ioan yn dechrau'r pedwaredd benod ar ddeg. Addo'r ysbryd. Os ydych yn fy ngharu i, fe gadwch fy ngorchmynion i. Ac fe ofynaf i naim tad, ac fe rydd ef i chwi eiriolwr arall i fod gyda chwi am byth. Ysbryd y gwirionedd. Ni all y byd ei dderbyn ef, am nad yw'r byd yn ei weld nac yn ei adnabod ef. Yr ydych chwi yn ei adnabod, oherwydd gyda chwi y mae'n aros, ac ynoch chwi y bydd. Ni adawaf chwi'n amddifad, fe ddof yn ôl atoch. Ymhen ychydig amser, ni bydd y byd yn fy ngweld i ddim mwy. Ond byddwch chi'n fy ngweld, fy mod yn fyw, a byw fyddwch chwythau hefyd. Yn y dydd hwnnw, byddwch chi'n gwybod fy mod i yn fy nhad, ach bod chi yn o fi, a minnau yn o chwythau. Pwy bynnag y mae fy ngorchmynion i ganddo, ac sy'n ei cadw hwy, yw'r un sy'n fy ngharu i. A'r un sy'n fy ngharu i, fe'i cerir gan fy nhad, a bydda finnau yn ei garu, ac yn fy amlygu fy hun iddo. Dyma air yr arglwydd.
May the words that I speak and the meditations of all our hearts now and ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I would love to go to Athens. I've never been there. I'm sure that some of you will have seen the city's wonderful sight. It's amazing to think that by the time of St. Paul's visit there, in our first Bible reading today, the Parthenon had already looked down from the Acropolis, the hill above the city, for nearly 500 years. When Paul was in Athens, the Parthenon was very much, of course, still in use as a place of worship. It was the temple of the goddess Athena, goddess of war and patron goddess of the city, after whom it was named. She was one of the great goddesses of the pagan pantheon. But all over the city, St. Paul would have found shrines to greater and lesser deities, from Premier League gods like Apollo, who made the sun shine every day, to minor league household deities of hearth and kitchen, to whom lesser offerings might be made in the hope that they had time to listen to smaller concerns. And as Paul points out, just in case you were worried that you hadn't got all the bases covered, there was even a statue to an unknown god. You wouldn't want to offend a forgotten minor deity. They might stop the chickens laying or make the roof leak. Probably, though, most of the people Paul was talking to that day didn't believe in all those gods, and his address reflects that. In the Areopagus, he is clearly addressing a learned audience with some knowledge of classical Greek philosophy. When the Parthenon was still a new building in the 5th century BC, the great Athenian philosopher Plato had insisted that there must be one singular cause of everything, from which everything else derived. And if anything or anyone could be called God, it was that singular first cause. Plato's idea of this essential oneness, what is sometimes called the monad, came to dominate philosophical thought, even though the greater and lesser deities of the pagan system still claimed the allegiance of most people. St. Paul, for example, lived and worked in the time of Roman emperors who claimed that they themselves were gods. Nevertheless, it is important to understand that Plato's idea of the oneness of God was part of the cultural context into which the gospel was first preached. And, as we see in this story in Athens, it gave the apostles a hearing. Christianity had been born in Judaism, which firmly believed in only one God, Yahweh. So it was quite likely to find a hearing amongst an intelligent pagan audience who had been influenced by Plato, as indeed Judaism already had. There were Jewish synagogues all over the Mediterranean region, especially in cities like Athens, and their spiritual and moral seriousness certainly attracted many intelligent pagan people who were not Jews by birth. The extra factor which Christianity brought to those people was the promise that God now made no difference between Jews and Gentiles. The good news of Jesus was good news for everyone, Greek or Jew. Those Gentiles who had been attracted to Judaism were now offered a new faith in which they could fully participate as equals with their Jewish brothers and sisters. It is probable that it was among those people that Christianity had its first crucial success. So it gained a foothold in the Gentile world, and indeed would, in a few short centuries, drive out paganism all over Europe. It was, though, a two-way process. The encounter with paganism had profound effects in shaping Christianity. For example, Plato's philosophy still remains a vital part of our understanding of the oneness of God. The feminine principle, expressed by goddesses like Athena, was increasingly incorporated into the Church's teaching about the Blessed Virgin Mary. Indeed, the Greek word Parthenos, which gave the Parthenon its name, simply means virgin. Meanwhile, the little gods for various areas of life became in Christianity the patron saints of this or that. There will be many Roman Catholics at the present time, praying to St. Margaret of Antioch, the patron saint of nurses. St. David, or Dewi Sant, is the patron saint of Wales, rather as Athena was patron goddess of the city-state of Athens. What the doctrines of Mary and the saints do, really, is to humanise the faith, by expressing it at a more human scale, a scale that ordinary people, men, and especially women, can relate to. It was probably for that same reason that ordinary pagans kept up the worship of their minor gods and goddesses, despite the austere traditions of the philosophers like Plato. Probably, you could never quite convince yourself that Plato's austere, distant, first cause of the universe and everything would really care about whether your chickens were laying, or whether there was a hole in your roof. This Thursday is Ascension Day. For me, it is the day, above all days, when we remember that our Christian faith has at its heart a human being. He was the son of Mary, from the carpenter's shop in Nazareth, a little provincial town in a nowhere province that doubtless no one in the Areopagus had ever heard of. But he was the first and last. He was the Alpha, the first word of God who spoke creation into being. And he is the Omega, who by his ascension to the right hand of Father speaks the last word of God's assurance that the humanity which Jesus shared and shares with us is eternally represented in the presence of Almighty God. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, En tad, rhanoeten yn efaith, sanctedia de enw, dele de dernas, gwnele de wechlis, megis yn en ef, wechli ar y ddear hefyd. Dyro ni heddiw ein bara beinyddiol, y maddau un ein dyledion, fyr y maddewn unna ein dyledwyr, ac nac arwan ni y brofedigaeth, eitha gwared ni rhag drwg, can i sedd o ti o'r dernas, a'r nerth a'r gogoniant, yn oes oes oedd. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Lord, hear my prayer, O Lord, hear my prayer, when I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer, O Lord, hear my prayer, come and listen. In union with the Spirit and in the name of Christ, we make our intercession to the Father. We pray for the Church throughout the world, for our Bishop, Joanna, our Archdeacon, Eileen, our Ministry Area Leader, John, and our clergy, Judith, John, and David. We pray for the brothers and sisters whom we miss so much in this time of isolation. Lord, bless them and keep them safe. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer, O Lord, hear my prayer, when I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer, O Lord, hear my prayer, come. for all those who are on our hearts, especially those from whom we are separated but whom we long to see. Our parents, brothers, sisters, children, grandchildren and great-grandchildren, our nephews and nieces and all who are dear to us. We pray especially for any who feel their isolation keenly. Thank you, Lord, that none of us is isolated from you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen. Pray for all those who've lost loved ones in the present crisis, whether to COVID-19 or to other causes. We pray especially for all those who are suffering with the virus now. We pray for doctors, nurses, carers and auxiliaries, sports staff and volunteers in hospitals, care homes and in the community. Pray too for those with responsibility for making policy, for wisdom and for the peace that comes from knowing that they have done and can only do their best. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. When I call, answer me. O Lord, hear my prayer. O Lord, hear my prayer. Come and listen.
Bursting forth in glorious day, grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no skill of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no skill of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you wherever he may send you.
May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm.
May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you.
May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great Shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, and work in you always that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, rest upon you and remain with you always.
Amen.